Thank you. car is up there. A Healy? MG? Wonder if a Cleveland would fit in that thing. I don't like the driver very much, but I like the car. This place has changed since the last time I was here, which was not too long ago. About a year ago, I think. Something like that. So I'd like to, since it's only been that long, try and play a few things I didn't play a year ago. I didn't play that, and I haven't for about a year. I might be able to work up to that. It's the lyrics. I may have... No, it's not the lyrics. I remember now. it's the pitch on this guitar. My 12-string is in dire shape and being repaired. And if I sing it on this, I'll either go through the ceiling or fall through the floor or tear myself to shreds. I can... Well, we'll see. Depends on what you like, I guess. This is something I haven't recorded yet called Spinning Blades. And I intended for it to be a sort of musical equivalent of the new and sometimes abhorred, I guess, by academics. Grammar that's coming up, which I am to love. But as usually happens with a self-taught player like myself, when I tried to sound slightly Spanish, I think I've come off sounding more or less Italian. But you can decide, and I'll try and get through this. Thank you. That's kind of a blend of of bits and pieces from all kinds of guitar tunes, but especially tunes built around the kind of playing that Sam McGee picked up. Who was killed by his own tractor. He fell off of the tractor. And I guess they'll continue, at least this one would, continue going in a circle. Sort of like one of those wet bikes. And it ran over him three times while he was laying there in the dirt. Yeah, I laugh too, but I feel a little guilty about it. That's true. He said, when they found him, he said, it ran over me three times. Only not as succinctly as I did, I'm sure. He probably had a few more slurs in his face. I recently had the chance to play that with Doc Watson, who's we've been on shows together, but we've never played together for some reason. As usual, when I play with somebody else, I forgot where I was, even though I've done this tune a few times. It's humiliating, especially when you figure that Doc started, his first instrument was made out of a possum hide. You would think that you ought to be able to pull this off, but you know, you're wrong. And if you can play a possum hide, I think you can play anything. Trying to say, you have to set your sights low, I believe. It takes a long time to learn that. It has for me. I wanted to be a surgeon when I was a child. I did. And believe it or not, I got a chance to work as a volunteer. My dad worked for the Veterans Administration. I was at this point in my life, I was about 14, I was younger than that, and I was working as a volunteer in the hospital in Muskogee, and I don't know how we wangled this, but it tells you something about the VA. My designated job was mounting the strips from EKGs on pieces of paper that the doctors would then carry back to these guys and tell them that they should have been run over by a tractor a long time ago. And at times I would give these EKGs, which gave these guys a whole lot of confidence in the VA. See a boy walk in the door, smile at them. I was there because I wanted to become a doctor. And I thought one of the quickest ways to learn would be to attend a post-mortem. And they let me do this. And I stood around in this cinder block room with this huge, god-awful thing on the table. Ambrose Bierce has a story, by the way, the title of which is You Don't Always Eat What's on the Table. That's one of those things that doesn't need to be said when you're in a morgue. It comes back after a while. I'm not going to go into this any further, but it was an unforgettable experience, and it drove me forever from any idea of becoming a surgeon. I went back to my guitar, renewed interest. But at that time, I thought that I wanted to play flamenco, which is what I mean about why you should set your sights a little lower. I was listening to stuff I couldn't imagine, let alone conceive on a guitar. Thankfully, I gave that up. just me and her own. Which is an island 2 hours or forever south somewhere of Jamaica. It's a little French something or other. They don't pay taxes there. There's no x-ray machine on the island, so you don't want to be run over by your tractor at St. Bart's. And it's incredibly expensive there, but it's not what you'd call any place that people go for a vacation, although people do. So it's a Perfect place to go dive is what I'm saying. The only way I got to go there is if I could get a job there, and I did at a place called Au Tour du Rocher, which means around the rock. I learned that much. I stood up in St. Bart's, which is about the fifth time and the first in my whole career that I've done that. I had been planning to stand up because I feel a lot like Dinah Shore sitting up here on a stool all the time. And St. Bart's was a good excuse because this club was on a... It was built around a huge rock, and the rock was the top of a sort of a like a cliff. And the club jutted out over the abyss adjacent to this cliff and, you know, 100 feet below it. And... it was supported by, as far as I could see, by about three or four very narrow, sort of crusty old pieces of wood that didn't have this, you know, not a snowball's chance of holding that place up if everybody started tapping their feet at the same time, sort of crowding the stage, which happened to be at the furthest corner out over the abyss in this place. So I stood up with the idea in mind that if it started to bend, I'd run and get out of there. I finally, but like I said, I was there mainly to dive, and it's supposed to be terrific there, and it was. But on my first dive, I got down to about 50 feet, and the first thing I saw, expecting to see, you know, barracuda and man-eating fish and beautiful stuff and all kinds of wonderment that I'd never run into. I saw a diaper. And it's real hard to exclaim when you have a mouthpiece in your face, but I was disgusted, and I wanted everybody to know it. Couldn't do a thing. Trouble in paradise. Anyhow, this place, if you come there to play, and it's tough to get there, puts you up for a week next, sort of a little further down the cliff in this little thing that has goats in it, we discovered every morning. That was all right. And I wrote this tune there. Not this one. This is the one I'm writing here at this point. The trouble with these rubato sort of pieces is you can always find other shit to stick in there. And I've been doing this for months. I finally had to just say, I'm done now. And I'm not sure I am, but I'll have to live with that for the rest of the time. Thank you. Turned a sort of color at one time that was so horrible that we ought to see it again. Do you remember that? It was, well, never mind, well, I shouldn't. Real master of entertainment here. Jesus. That's not right. For a movie called Days of Heaven, and which followed a movie made by the same guy called Badlands, which was a sort of a fictionalized biography of Charles Starkweather, who was a great mass murderer, one of the first that got a lot of press, who terrified Laramie and Cheyenne and drove through the deserts between them. Eventually it was captured somewhere. And the score for that movie was done by a man named Carl Orff, who invented a system for children who, naturally, since they've never played anything, have a hard time playing something when it's handed to them, like a violin or a trombone, which are in the first place too big and they hurt your clavicle or your face falls in the mouthpiece. So he invented all of these sort of Javanese, Balinese kind of block approaches, and each block had a pitch. So you give one little three-year-old, maybe 4 or 5 year old, an A flat and a B flat, and give this kid 3 pitches and so on and so forth. And then just point at them and they get to hit it. You know, they don't have to play it, they can hit it. And it sounds wonderful. And this, a little childlike sort of orchestra, was the music for Badlands as Charles Starkweather was dismembering people in South Dakota, North Dakota. Blink, blink. And so when he asked me to do the entire score for this second movie, I figured that I didn't want to believe what I thought he had in mind. But this is something that I did do. I should have done more. And I'll segue from this just because it's similar to another piece of mine that I wrote a long time ago. It's one of the oldest things that I've got that I'm still playing. Thank you. is one of the really nice guitar pieces in the last 20, 30 years, I think. This is one of those things that you could only play on a guitar. Some of the stuff that you hear written for a guitar was maybe written on a piano or would sound just as good on a piano. This thing seems to be all by itself with the instrument. Written by Dwayne Allman, it's called Little Martha, which is a tune title. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to sneak up towards the end of the set here with a traditional tune. That one was written by Richard Gilowitz, a guy that lives in Tampa, Florida. Biggest moments that I have had in my life. This happened about almost exactly a year ago, a little more than that. I'd begun this program years and years ago when I was first doing this and getting really pooped when I was working all over the place and I was whining and complaining about it and making a general ass of myself. Forgetting, you know, everything, and forgetting that I got to play, and somebody told me, and I was trying to find solutions to this, you know, I was trying to figure it out and come to some kind of great and grand conclusion that would liberate me from my travail and set me free, and you know, somebody. Point, and basically the way I chose to do that was by getting so thoroughly debilitated and messed up I couldn't put one foot in front of the other, and I thought I was making some progress as a result. And somebody, as I'm trying to say, told me that what I should do instead, and try to, instead of taking this huge global view about things and looking at a molehill and finding a mountain in it, I should do the opposite and narrow my perspective in order to expand my consciousness. You know, take little bites and things might work. And I thought, oh, bull. But it was the only thing, more or less the only thing left to me at that time. Or so I thought. I mean, I was really getting grand at the time. And, I mean, I had it made. You know, this is the perfect job. But I was all wrapped up. So I started doing this, and for me that meant that meant concentrating, instead of on these global issues, it meant concentrating on doorknobs and the, you know, the rug nap at the Holiday Inn and the bedspread that's been there for 20 years, and you're the 5,000th semi-human being to confront it. And I really wasn't getting anywhere with it as a result. I didn't, you know, I didn't do anything for me, but I was sitting in one of these rooms with tables in it and menus called restaurants in one of these places, and I had a little dish of cottage cheese, you know, and they dropped a scoop of cottage cheese in this dish, and so it sat there as a little sort of mound, and for my exercise that day, I was contemplating the cottage cheese. And I was thoroughly depressed as a result. And while I looked at it, the cottage cheese collapsed and settled in the bowl. Bingo. You know, I was thrilled. This was for me. I became one of those people that we sit, you know, that I've sat next to on buses who start to laugh to themselves. And you don't know why they're laughing, and the last thing you do is ask them why they're, what are you laughing at? And that was really the beginning of even narrower perspectives for me. And it pays off. I can recommend it. But what I'm driving at, and you may have noticed my nose. I have developed a habit of grabbing my nose, but this is because it itches. And the reason it itches is that I was in a drugstore. This is what happened about a little over a year ago. Wandering around, and I found this was something. I found a rotary nose hair clipper. This is one of those things you don't know you need until you see it in front of you. And then all your problems are solved. And I started laughing again, you know, and I took as an example, you know, I took this to the cashier. I didn't just run out the door with it. I was going to pay for it. And a guy standing behind me in the line said, "Where did you get that?" And believe me, they really, they're terrific. But when you first try one out, you get carried away. And so instead of this sort of luxurious pomp that you're used to having in your schnoz, you get a kind of a flat top, which is one of the weirdest things you'll ever feel in your life, in your nose. So you grab your nose out of a, you know, feeling of doom and itch and grab, and of course you perforate either side of your nose and it itches some more, and you grab it some more, and that's what I've been doing for about a year now. I just wanted to recommend, though, that this way of life, and you don't have to have a rotary nose hair clipper to get off on it. I'd like to thank Chris tonight. I worked with him 13 years ago and in between a couple of times. It was real nice. It's good to be back here. Thanks for coming. That's great. Let's see. Why don't I do this? What's my problem here? careful here, I'm going to hurt myself. One more, maybe. This is one I've done less than the others, and see how this one feels. Talking to Tony and Mario. You know they make good conversation. Still it ain't no consolation. Cause I got love, baby, I'll give you some. And if somebody comes, let the doorbell ring. Sun around your pretty finger. Ring, ring, voices ring with a happy tune. Anybody can be a singer. The sun comes up across the city. I swear you never looked so young and pretty. Hand in hand, we'll stand upon the sand, preacher band. Let the wedding bells ring. Hand in hand, we'll stand upon the sand. Preacher man, let the wedding bells ring. Thank you. What would you recommend I do about this? I've tried. I don't want to wear a black sock. You know, there's something funereal about that that I don't go for. But white, I've tried. That feels funny. This is really pretty. This is worse than some of the others I've had. I mean, maybe no sock. I won't do that now. I'll save that up for when I'm on the Tonight Show. But that is a problem for me. I mean, I don't get too far out in the rest of my dress up here. Maybe some new pantyhose, yeah. That's a good idea. On my face. I agree. I'm the guy who didn't marry pretty Pamela Brown. Educated, well-intentioned, good girl in our town. I wonder where I'd be today if she had loved me too. Probably be driving kids to school. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. All of my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. Seen the lights of cities and I've been inside their doors. Sailed to foreign countries and walked upon their shores. I guess the guy she married was the best part of my life. She dug him 'cause he drove a pickup truck. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. All of my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. To tell you just how beautiful she was. Everything it takes to get a guy like me in love. Lord, I hope she's happy 'cause she sure deserves to be. Especially for what she did for me. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. All of my good times, all my running around. One of these days I might be in your town. And I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. I guess I owe it all to Pamela Brown. Ship out of the ocean, about to go aground on desert sand. Feeling like an eagle losing motion, tired of flying, ain't nowhere to land. And every day's the same, same old ways never change. And we're going from the cradle to the grave. I don't think I've ever felt so helpless.
like my hands are tied. Failure and most everything I've dealt with, and ruining most everything I've tried. And every day's the same, same old ways never change. And we're going from the cradle to the grave. Running for my life at every moment, never having time to catch my breath. Sometimes I wish this crazy race were over. The thought of living scares me half to death. And every day's the same, same old ways never change. We're going from the cradle to the grave.
Thank you very much.